Good afternoon. It is 12:37. We have a quorum. The Committee on State and Local Government will come to order. It's Tuesday, March 4th, 2025. The time is 12:37. First item on the agenda is SF-509 with Senator Mann. Welcome, Senator Mann. Whenever you're ready, you can begin.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Members, Senate File 509 is a bill to change how we license internationally practicing physicians. Is there an amendment, an A3?
Yes, Senator Mann, there is an amendment. Senator Carlson moves A3.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The A3, we talked to the board and MDH, and there are certain scenarios where a letter of recommendation may not be possible. So they all agree that there are other forms of ways to demonstrate good standing versus a letter. So they all said that they were okay with that.
Thank you, Senator Mann. Does everybody have a copy of the A3? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed say no. The amendment is adopted.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So right now, if you are a practicing physician in another country, you may have practiced for 20 years. When you arrive in Minnesota, you can no longer practice medicine until you have, one, passed all of your step exams. There are three of them to assess your medical knowledge. And two, you have gone through residency all over again. Residency is an additional 3 to 7 years of training that you go through after medical school. Having to do residency all over again is not only unnecessary training that these physicians have already done, but it is also a barrier to getting qualified, competent doctors back out in the field. It may sound like no big deal until I tell you that we don't even have enough residency spots for the kids graduating medical schools here. So we are preventing people from practicing medicine because there are no residency spots and not because they don't know how to practice medicine. It's estimated there's about 250 to 300 doctors in Minnesota who cannot practice medicine right now. So what this bill does is it removes those residency requirements and replaces it with other requirements so that an experienced practicing physician would be eligible to practice in Minnesota if they have graduated medical school, have been practicing medicine for the last for at least 5 out of the last 12 years, they pass all 3 of their step exams proving they have appropriate medical knowledge. They then will practice in Minnesota for 2 years in a rural or underserved area under the supervision of another physician. They will have multiple letters of recommendations along the way with multiple check-ins with the medical board, and they will require the same documentation that residents have when it comes to their competencies. If all of these requirements are met, then they will receive a license to practice medicine, and this will do 3 things. It will diversify our workforce because patients feel more comfortable when their doctors look like them. It will increase the number of doctors practicing medicine since we do have a physician shortage, and it will open up residency slots for the newly graduating physicians who actually need the training. We are not the first state to do this. And with that, Madam Chair, I do have some testifiers.
Thank you, Senator Mann. I believe the testifier is online. Is that correct? If you could state your name, turn on your camera for the record, you may proceed. Excuse me. I'm so sorry. You're here in person. Please, welcome to our committee. Have a seat at the desk. All the other rules apply, though. If you could state your name for the record, we would be happy to hear your testimony. Thank you.
Thank you, Vice President. My name is Dr. Azhar Maloki, a physician from Iraq. Vice Chair Gustafson, committee leadership and committee members, good afternoon and thank you for having me today. My name is Azhar Maloki and I'm a physician from Iraq. I graduated from the University of Baghdad College of Medicine and earned my board certification in dermatology from both the Iraq Board and the Arab Board of Dermatology. I worked in Iraq as a clinical dermatologist and researcher for nearly 15 years before moving with my family to the United States in 2015 and settling in Minnesota. In Minnesota, I joined the University of Minnesota Medical School as a research fellow for almost 4 years and also worked part-time as a medical interpreter in the Twin Cities hospitals and at the Mayo Clinic. My wife, who was a high school teacher in Iraq, supported us and our three children as we adapted to our new life, culture, and new language in the United States. During the pandemic, and encouraged by my family and friends, I began the process of obtaining my medical license. I passed all the USMLE steps on my first attempt and acquired the ECFMG certification. However, for a family of five with unstable income, at that time, life became increasingly challenging. We had to rearrange priorities as a family to afford the thousands of dollars required for the exams, for clinical rotations, residency preparation agencies, and also two cycles of ERAS applications. After being unmatched for residency, I got a great support from the IMG Career Guidance and Support Program at the International Institute of Minnesota. And I was accepted then into the Bridge Program in Minnesota in 2024. This was a crucial step toward achieving my dream of becoming a primary care physician in Minnesota. I believe this bill had been in place years ago, it would have made a significant difference in my life and my family's life, allowing me to help patients as a primary care physician sooner. This bill would provide necessary clinical exposure to the U.S. healthcare system, which is a major obstacle for all IMGs. It would also eliminate the long waiting periods for residency. In my case, it took 10 years and still counting, especially as the number of unmatched applicants continue to rise significantly every year due to increasing numbers of physicians graduating and applying for residency. Also, given the physician shortages in the United States, this bill would utilize the clinical knowledge and experience of hundreds of IMGs residing in Minnesota who have already met the ECFMG requirements and are ready to start their medical residencies. This would significantly improve healthcare access to thousands of Minnesotans, particularly in areas where healthcare is mostly needed. A final word, Minnesota has become my home, and I'm grateful for the opportunities and inspiration this state has provided for my family and me. It has always been my dream to serve as a primary care physician in Minnesota and assist underserved populations. Thank you so much for allowing me to share my perspective, and I strongly hope you will support this bill to help immigrant physicians living in Minnesota. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, Doctor. We appreciate you being here. Members, any questions? Senator Barr.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Senator Mann, looking through the bill here, and the doctors that are going to be in this program, they work under the direct supervision of a particular doctor, right? So on line 331, 3.31, it says it's talking about the letter of unlicensed contains all attestations required in paragraph one from any physician who participated in the collaborative agreement. Am I misreading that, or is that basically the doctor? Shouldn't that be the doctor they worked under, or did I misread that?
Madam Chair,
Senator Mann,
do you have a copy of the bill I could see?
Yes, we will get one to you ASAP. Here it comes.
Madam Chair, Senator, yeah, so the practicing physician will practice generally under one or more than one physicians. Generally, they'll have a relationship with one physician who will do most of the supervising, but if there has been more than one physician there, that they will require letters from those physicians as well.
Senator Barr, follow-up?
Yeah, real quick. Thank you, Madam Chair. maybe there, instead of any physician, because the way I'm reading it now is it could be anyone, even if they hadn't worked under them on that program. So if you could just tighten that up a little bit before the next committee stop, please.
Senator Mann.
Madam Chair. Senator, yeah, so it says from any physician who participated in the collaborative agreement. So that means that it was a physician who was supervising that doctor in that collaborative agreement.
Senator Barr.
Thank you.
Members, any other? Oh, Senator Lang.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And Senator Mann, I like the bill. I think it's a good idea. A lot of shortfalls in rural Minnesota, especially. So experience those on a daily level. I'm just curious as to, does it apply, you know, you got a couple chiropractors on the bill, does it apply to them? Should probably be cautious about how I talk about nurses, but we also have a nursing shortage. Does this apply maybe beyond the scope of just a physician?
Senator Mann.
Madam Chair, Senator, so this bill is just for MDs, DOs, physicians. We are in conversations about other midwives, nurses. We haven't had a conversation about chiropractors.
Really?
Yeah. But we are talking about other dentists even, so we are having those conversations.
Senator Lang, follow-up? Members, any other questions? Senator McQuaid.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And Senator Mann, I told you this last year, and I'll tell you it again this year. I remember when I was in college, I was coming home from a party, and the man who was driving my cab, I was like, oh, where are you from? And he said he was a refugee. And I said, oh, what'd you do in your home country? He said I was a brain surgeon. And I was thinking to myself, a brain surgeon has no business driving around 20-year-old me. He should be doing brain surgery. And it was simply because of all of the barriers that were in place for him actually continuing to be a physician, a surgeon. And so, you know, I've asked you before sarcastically, like, are bodies made differently in other countries? Do they have different, like, placements for the heart or lungs or kneecap numbers or whatever? And the answer is obviously no. And so I just think this is a really good first step. And I think the, you know, other professions that of people who come here, I'm glad you're working on that because I think that's important too. But this is just a really good first step, and I'm glad to see it move again with bipartisan authors. And I hope to see this in law at the end of this session. So thank you for bringing it.
All right, thank you. Seeing no further discussion, Senator McQuaid moves that SF 509 as amended be recommended to pass and re-referred to the Committee on Finance. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. The motion prevails. SF 509 is amended, is recommended to pass and re-referred to Finance. Thank you, Senator Mann. Up next, Senator Howe is here with SF 1491. Senator Howe, whenever you're ready, you may begin.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. Senate File 1491, basically with the shortage that we have out there of volunteer firefighters and paramedics, what this basically does is allow firefighters and first responders to volunteer firefighters and EMS providers to buy a set of tires once every 3 years on the contract price. So it's a no-cost item, but it's just kind of an incentive to another bonus thing for firefighters and EMS providers to make sure they got good tires on their rigs when they respond. So that's the bill.
Members, any questions? Senator Lang.
Does it have to be, thank you, Madam Chair, does it have to be voluntary? What about the EMS guys that get paid and still drive a lot, like say 65,000 miles a year?
Senator Howe.
Sorry to say, Senator Lang, this is only for the volunteer folks. So those guys that get paid the big bucks are gonna have to buy their own tires.
Senator Howe, one quick question. If you could specify how volunteer providers pay for the tires or must pay for the tires, so how will municipalities or fire departments ensure they are receiving the correct payment for the tires purchased? Can you say anything more about that in your bill?
Actually, the firefighter, I'll just use firefighter, will pay the, they won't pay the municipality. They'll be paying wherever they buy the tires at. So it'll just be on the municipal contract price. So if they get it from, Bob's Pretty Good Tire Shop, if that's where they get their tires for the city, they go to Bob's, they get the same price the city would get, only they pay Bob's Tire Shop for the tires. So the city doesn't have to handle those funds.
Thank you, Senator Howe. Members, any other questions? All right, seeing no further discussion, SF-1491 is laid over. Thank you so much. All right, seeing no further business, we are adjourned. We will be back on Thursday. Thank you, members. Have a good day.